cross the Ganga, then the Gangas turned black because so many black and the only heads could be seen from the people swimming over the Ganga to see Mahaprabhu. Sri Sankirtan, very important source of enthusiasm. Preaching to anyone and everyone. If you speak about Krishna to someone, you will see Krishna is all of a sudden present in the transaction. You see a spark coming and igniting the hearer, and so on. It is described in the Bhagavatam that by speaking about Krishna, the hearer the questioner becomes benefited, the one who hears it, who is standing nearby, and the speaker. Spiritual sparks begin to fly when you preach, igniting someone's Krishna consciousness. And if that person is not totally wet inside by breaking the regulative principles all the time, it will ignite. Also him. Then offering prasada. These are the principles which safeguard us from Maya's attack by keeping us always enthusiastic. Yeah, so what do you consider is the opposite of enthusiasm? Lethargy. Yes, what else? Depression. Did I hear depression? Good. Moroseness.
Sleep.
Who said it? Akila Lokeshwara? Is it sleep? No, someone else who watched you. Sorry, sleep. This was for your benefit because now you will listen. Yes. Discouragement, yes. Bhaktivedanta Vidya Bhushana says one feels discouraged for any work one feels unfit for. Discouragement. Yes?
Frustration.
Ooh. So true.
Resignation.
Resignation. Becoming a mechanic. Routine. Yes, good. We have a few, but we are still on the search. We are told that the opposite of enthusiasm is indifference. Prabhupada said one should become enthusiastic by hearing that one can go back home, back to Godhead. This should make one enthusiastic. But the difference is but it's indifference. Now this indifference has three symptoms. This gets important because this will help us. Difference. First is apathy. Then is lethargy.
Let me see you.
I should know my subject better. Inertia. Yes, you feel. Something to do. Let me sleep and lie. And then there is the last thing, distraction. You are distracted to something else. Your mind is with something else. And then you can't become enthusiastic. These are really obstacles each devotee who wants to become enthusiastic must become aware of. These three things manifest especially during chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and they lead to the root cause of all our problems in chanting, that is inattentiveness. These three brothers, or are they sisters or brothers and sisters, this game, so to say, of apathy, inertia, and distraction is cause of inattention. I think we talked about this earlier, inattention, I will not get into it. You must know that as a soul, you are naturally enthusiastic to go back home, back to, to be Krishna conscious. The inherent quality of the soul really is one of enthusiasm. But then it gets covered over by the modes of material nature. Then you become apathic towards the process, you become lazy to do it, and you become distracted. At that time, it seems to you very difficult to become to follow Krishna consciousness. It becomes very selflessig, tough, your life, because you cannot longer go to the processes which can make you enthusiastic. What to do at that time? Vrindavaneshwari says to us, we should associate with devotees who are enthusiastic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives this remedy. He says, go in the assembly of Vaishnavas. If you cannot do anything else, just sit there. And you will see, as a natural result, how your enthusiasm comes back. Therefore, I personally think such seminars as this Radha Desh seminar are very, very good to again make us enthusiastic in our Krishna conscious service. In the scriptures, there is also a very interesting verse which Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes many times. A verse of encouragement. Maybe you feel like me that it's very difficult to be enthusiastic always. Isn't it? It is very difficult. Sometimes we know that we are, that Krishna consciousness is just wonderful, but it seems so difficult to get access to Krishna consciousness, to be Krishna conscious, in other words. But Krishna addresses this and makes us courage. He talks of a devotee who is not always able to be on the transcendental platform. Let me read this verse to all of you. Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery only, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. Isn't it that we have some faith in Krishna's narration of the glories? Don't we all feel some disgust with material activities? Oh, to go to work, and so then, you know, lead a life of work, TV, and paying taxes. This is disgusting for many of us who are sitting here. And we know also that good sense gratification leads to misery. We might have been sense gratifiers, we might have experiences with the opposite sex. Some of us has tried to widen their mind by taking undesirable substances. We have made experiences like this, but still we feel a certain leaning towards the material side. What should we do? Now listen to Krishna. My devotee should remain happy. Why happy? My devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So even if due to some attachment which is still in the heart, you do have a fall down, either gross, or you all of a sudden see your mind is engaged in sexy land, you know, you have a sexual phantasmagoria going on, that movie is going on, or you have any other embarrassing things. You see, all of a sudden you are envious of a devotee's success, or something just totally disturbing comes to you. Don't be utterly disturbed. Krishna says in the Gita that even though my devotee may fall due to some accident, he should be considered a sadhu, because he remains on the path, as long as he remains on the path, soon he will become righteous. A very important part in the Gita, and I wish I could have time to get a little bit in the explanations of this verse. Verse Prabhupada says that we have two types of natures. One, conditional nature, that is what we bring our body and our mind, these are conditioning, and our constitutional nature, that's our soul, who is a pure servant of Krishna, we souls who are pure servants of Krishna. Now sometimes the constitutional, the conditional nature is ugly. Do you sometimes feel this also? Your self, which you really want to forget, and you know, bye-bye, you belong to history, but to past history, hopefully, but it returns, you feel, oh, why, after all these years, am I still attached, or did I do this, or think this, or say this? Krishna says he doesn't, even if on the conditional level you have some accident due to the attachments which are lying in your genetic codes or in your psychology, even though this may be the case, as long as you are engaged in devotional service, he accepts this. He is bhakti grahi Janadana, the Lord who accepts the essence of his devotee. So remain enthusiastic, even if you see that there are some difficulties still to be overcome. Know that Krishna accepts your sincere desire to serve him and overlooks your conditioned nature and the problems which are starting before because of this. Lord is so, Krishna is so wonderful, even a little, one of his qualities is gratefulness, that even for a little service a devotee does or did for him, he remains grateful. In explaining this quality of the Lord's personality, Draupadi is given as an example. Krishna says, Draupadi just chanted, "Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal," and for this I have become eternally indebted to her. And this indebtedness is growing in my heart. It's becoming more. Then this appears a nectar of devotion. Srila Prabhupada says, now just imagine how indebted Krishna is to someone who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly. So we can be enthusiastic because Krishna is grateful for the service rendered to his devotees. Let me summarize for you what I said, because I said so much that I want to just go again through the important points. First, we were discussing enthusiasm has to be backed up with a deep understanding of Krishna consciousness. We gave the example of a Brahmana boy who gets a book but can't read it. He is enthusiastic in the beginning but unenthusiastic at the later stage of his life. So then we were suggesting to go to sources of enthusiasm, which we have mentioned here from a letter of Srila Prabhupada, which could well become one of your mottos in your life. Someone who wants this letter, please give your name and address to Lalita, either after the course, after the total course, when you have if it ends on Saturday, or today. Then we were discussing about the obstacles to enthusiasm, which you have brainstormed a little bit, and we were saying that these are the classical obstacles. If you have these three, most probably the others will fall in some way under them: apathy, inertia, and distraction, which lead to inattention. Yes. Then we said more or less in the end, even though this may be the case, don't get depressed and become sad, but know that Krishna is so grateful that if you just continue in whatever you do, that enthusiasm will go on. Yeah, Hare Krishna. We have now 10 minutes. I feel tempted to go into nishchaya or confidence. But how do you feel? Let me see, are there any questions to what we have said so far? Yes, Mataji?
I think that how both of them can get
yes. You have to get the question was, you might have done this for many years but still feel unenthusiastic. What to do? The answer is you have to get the warmth out of your system. What? Yes. If a person can eat and eat and eat, but as long as he has warmth, he won't feel warmth. Worms, oh sorry. Worms. Good. Now we have the... As long as he has worms in the system, he won't feel nourished by them. So he can do this. But if we commit offenses, either to the holy name, we chant, or to the seva, when we do the service, or to Vaishnavas, that's in the holy name. Then we won't be nourished by these processes. Therefore, it is extremely important to avoid aparadha. Radha is Radhana, not the Sanskrit just here, but Radha, this last part of the word means write this down for you. Rad, how do you spell this one? An E? An A? Like this. This is worship or service, and apa means away from. Aparat takes you away from the service. And therefore it is, you may be doing this, but you are removed from the benefit. We must avoid the aparat. Therefore Prabhupada often he says, chant Hare Krishna without offense. That's a project. Now, if I may give you one advice, if I hear so much about aparat, we are not, if you go to Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's class, which is also wonderful, like all the classes, there he has a very succinct analysis of aparat. He calls it the anatomy of the cloud of anatta. And it's this much here. There are many aparats. So this is just anattas, not aparatas. If you want to, let me do it like this. If you want to avoid anatta, aparatas, you must situate yourself very firmly in the kingdom of humility. If you go into the center of humility, if you stay in that kingdom, these aparadas can't get you. This is real advice. Therefore, Trinara, Peace, Nichvena, Tarorori, Viva, Sahishnana. This verse is given. It's the third verse. In the second verse ends. Although chanting the holy name, I have no attraction to it. And then it goes. And the explanation why there is no attraction is given. It is due to aparat. Now, the solution for aparat is verse 3. You might like to read it and meditate about all the different aspects of humility which are given there. Krishna. Yeah. Yes?
But even if we seemingly not pay so much offenses, that we don't get enthusiasm, is it because also of some karmic reactions?
Some of us are very enthusiastic also by nature. I remember in my own case, I was enthusiastic for whatever I did. Also in material life. Srila Prabhupada had said that, I've seen these German devotees, that they are so enthusiastic, he mentioned. Because in his last days, I remember, when he came to London, all the devotees came from Europe, amongst them the Germans, and we made it devotee kirtan, which almost broke the whole house. It was just, maybe it was not a little passionate, if I remember, but maybe that's not the best to example for two here, but certainly we bring our individual natures into the process of Krishna consciousness. Just people by their nature who are a little bit more considerate or a little bit more thoughtful. But see, enthusiasm is not really only an external display of movements or of smiles or fast running, etc. Enthusiasm, when it is real, it is something which each nature will have. It is based on nishaya, on confidence, you feel so confident and so properly situated, so nicely placed that you are just enthusiastic. It may manifest in your case different. You may be more a silent person, and you may not feel like expressing it in your enthusiasm. You will be. Hare Krishna. You all look at me with thoughtful eyes. Hare Krishna, Navya. I will end actually here. I will have to end. Yeah, I can't do nishchaya. So, Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Yes, Maharaj.
I just wanted to point out the devotion. The Prabhupada says that enthusiasm means devotional service executed with intelligence.
Oh, very good. Let us write this down so that we can make that note. Or you can even write it down without. Enthusiasm means devotional service performed with intelligence. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much, Maharaj. I was not aware of this quotation. Enthusiasm means devotional service performed with intelligence. Yes? You are fixed with your intelligence and perform devotional service. That means enthusiasm. Very deep statement. So now that's not just unintelligently. Good, so I want to thank you very much for your kindness and hearing this. Tomorrow we will we will have another highlight. Nishchaya, I have already said, will come, but then Dalia will come. Dalia means patient. And this is this is really, really ecstatic. I will tell you a story which you will not forget for the rest of your life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. Usually it refers to greed or desire towards material subject matters. But we also analyzed that if we turn that greed towards spiritual, or let us say, objects or places or activities in relationship to Sri Krishna, then that same greed, which is a gate to hell, becomes a gateway, if you so want, to advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, we also talked about the secondary meaning of Lorya. Who remembers what that was? Yeah? Restlessness, yes. Thank you. The second point was, let us say, the second subject of great interest I felt was utsaha or enthusiasm. And we talked a little bit how we can come from the state of the beginner's enthusiasm called utsaha mayi to real enthusiasm. And we are telling all of, we were quoting Srila Prabhupada, who spoke about sources of enthusiasm where you can take enthusiasm out and drink it. Today we will talk about nishchaya or confidence. Nishchaya or confidence. Mm. point. Confidence is obviously very important in Krishna consciousness. In the ninth chapter, Sri Krishna says that someone who is full of doubts in the process of Krishna consciousness will have to return back to birth and death in this material world. In other words, his journey back home, back to Godhead, will be futile, damaged or finished by these doubts. In the Gita, this doubt is compared or is identified as the demon of doubt, the Madhu demon. The Madhu demon, actually, that's very interesting, was born out of the sweat of Lord Brahma during the dawn of creation. And he had a twin, so to say, the Kaitava demon. Both of them attacked Lord Brahma and stole the Vedic scriptures from him until the Lord in his incarnation of Hayagriva retrieved or brought back the Vedic knowledge. The demon of doubt, or doubt, in other words, which is the opposite of faithfulness, or let us say confidence, I'm sorry, confidence, is powerful in the absence of Vedic knowledge. Let me bring this point, which is a little bit difficult really to understand, into focus. We have understood, I think all of you understand, if you are not convinced of something, if you are not confident in what you are doing, your activities will be an external show only, and when some serious obstacle comes, you won't be able to cross over it. We don't address the deep-rooted doubts within you, you might lack this confidence to go all the way. The Gita, it says, ignorant and faithless persons who have doubt in the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. If you want to look this verse up, it's in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 40. Doubt can really only be destroyed by knowledge. And here comes a very interesting point now. By definition, each one of us will have to have doubts. It is not unnatural, in other words, to have doubts. Because the spiritual existence of Krishna cannot be reached by the instruments which we are using in our normal life in order to attain information. See, material nature, that which surrounds you, is conceivable. You just perceive it through the senses, and then a certain concept, a certain understanding automatically arises in the mind. Material nature can be understood. We have the senses to understand material nature to some degree. But, by definition, spiritual matters or spiritual nature is inconceivable. So it is totally natural for a to have doubts, because you can't conceive of it. If I would tell you now something which is beyond everything you have heard and thought so far, you must have doubts. This is a natural response by an intelligent person. No? Yeah? So, spiritual natures, spiritual subject matters, will always create a serious problem for every one of us. The Mahabharata says the state of achintya, that is things which are inconceivable, spiritual things, cannot be ascertained by argument. You can't even talk about it, it says here, to come and understand it in this way. It is that which is beyond the 24 elements of material nature. Beyond. So, Tao, this is my first point, is something which is unfortunately natural to the condition. So, when it comes to spiritual subject matter, to pretend it is not there would, I think, not help us. But that you essentially are free from doubt, because remember, the qualities of the soul are sat, chit, and. Yes, it's almost an offense to ask this question because everyone knows. Chit, full of knowledge. This brings me to an interesting subject matter. In the early beginning, Srila Prabhupada was always sent a lot of doubting questions. I remember from Hamburg Temple, every month he sent a list like this. How can we understand this? How can we understand that? That is inconceivable. You know, please explain. And Prabhupada used to answer these questions. He once wrote in a letter, these Westerners, they question. You know, we spent gallons of blood on one devotee to make him convinced the Krishna consciousness. So much hard work. Because our minds are materially covered. I think that's an honest description. So then, in that letter, he answered all the questions, but in the end, he said, may I ask you a question? Are you chanting your 16 rounds without offenses? In other words, he was indicating that the process of understanding is not only an intellectual, you know, accumulation of answers, but it's a question of purifying the eternal soul and coming to this quality, the chit quality, full of knowledge. Very, very important point to understand. So this spiritual, let me say, this knowledge is received through the Vedic literature and then through a bona fide link in the line of teachers of the Vedic scriptures, the bona fide spiritual master. We will come back a little later to the bona fide spiritual master, what qualifications he should have, how we should approach him, and so on and so forth. For now, I just want to say, to become free of doubt and become totally confident, secure about what you are doing, say, you will need to go to the Vedic scriptures daily. Srila Prabhupada used to say, that man, or that person who does not regularly read in the Vedic scriptures, but who only eats grains to become strong, like bread, butter, I think that's also eaten in these areas of the world, who doesn't, he will be weak. Only eats. But he who regularly reads in the books, he will become spiritually strong. I remember this little segment was the Prabhupada translated the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This was somehow printed out earlier. At that time we didn't have computers, but it was sent to all the temples of the world. That if you don't regularly read the transcendental literature but just eat enough grains, you will become spiritually weak and fall from the transcendental platform. You won't be confident. Now, for those of you who like to, assess things in a analytical way. I want to say what the Vedic scriptures actually say, how they removed doubt. What are the 10? What are the 9 subjects of the Vedic scriptures? Are you interested in this? Yeah. But I will not be able to explain the points. I just thought those of you who want to have a comprehensive understanding of the Vedic literature to deal with the Madhu demon, they can have this. The first premise, really, that's the point A, is Vedas are authority. Maybe I can ask again our talented scribe Krishna Chandra to write this please down. I feel it helps a lot if we have it in written. Yeah. Vedas are authority. The second, this is important to establish first. We have to go for knowledge to the Vedic scriptures. Then the first philosophical point. Krishna is, or Hari, is one without a second. In other words, there is no second God to him. This was dealt with in the scripture, in the lecture this morning. Second point, he has infinite power. With this point, he has infinite power. It is analyzed that he has 3 types of energy: the material energy, the spiritual energy, or antaranga shakti, the tatastha shakti, or the borderline, the marginal energy, we say. Third point. It's better you write this is the first philosophical point. This is very important. This is not philosophy. This is just the premise. The third point is he is an ocean of ras. Ras means taste. That you, in other words, you can make a personal relationship with him. In that relationship, derive the greatest amount of pleasure. Ras, ocean of ras. Sometimes people ask us, why do you say personality of Godhead if the personality usually makes something limited in this world? Why do you use the same expression for Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead? The reason is you can have an exchange with a person only and experience in that exchange some ras. Isn't it? The greatest pleasure conceivable are pleasures which have to do with persons, with personal exchanges. And in this world also the greatest misery comes from personal exchanges. You might have experienced already. Fourth point. The soul is his vibhinansa. Vibhinansa means separated part. Soul is... I think we all know what this means. The fifth point is certain souls are engrossed by prakriti, overwhelmed by prakriti, or you could say in maya. So certain souls, yes. Good. The sixth point is very important also, that certain souls are released, freed from the grasp of prakriti. Sorry that we take so much time, but I think if you have this list, I will leave it also on for those who want to copy it. I would say the following. Why don't we go a little fast through this, because I might lose too much time. You don't need to copy it now. You can copy it later. I will just rattle it down, then our Krishna Chandra will write it, and then in the end of the presentation you can You can write it down if you want. All spiritual and material phenomena are Veda, Veda Prakash of Hari. Who knows what that is? Yes. They are simultaneously one and different with the Lord. All spiritual and material phenomena. The eighth is bhakti or devotional service is the only means to attain the Lord. And the ninth is prema, pure love of Krishna alone is the final object of spiritual existence. That's the goal. Personally, I feel every preacher and every devotee should be aware of these altogether 10 points. They should be aware of this to know. The preacher, can't you write it? Possible, huh? To write it here. I have an idea. You can just write it here and later stick it up here, and then it's in one. So we will go now, shwop-de-wop, and our scribe will write this down. Please don't lose any papers if there are any. So these are the Dasa Mula. Tattva, Dasa Mula Tattva, as composed by Srila Madhvacharya, as commented by Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana, and as commented or comprised again by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What I will personally start is, I will start with a notebook of my own where I will write relevant verses which illustrate these points. And in this way I always have something to preach. If you know these 9 points to preach, that's all. I feel it is very, very important for us to have a systematic understanding of our philosophy. These 10 truths will build up your nishchaya. Your nishchaya means your confidence. Good. I will move on now to a point which I personally find almost as ecstatic. I mean, they are all ecstatic, but this one is very relevant in a devotee's life who wants to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. But before doing that, it's Daya, I want to just have a little feedback about confidence or nishchaya. What were the 2 points which we have made in our presentation? Yes.
Doubts are natural because you know something intuitive about them.
Very good. So we I wanted to make this very short because the doubts, we should not feel like ignore them and so on and so forth. We should address them and not feel so bad that they are there. In fact, it's a quality of the intelligence to raise doubts. And the intelligence is alert. Oh, what's this? and so on. Yes, please. Yes. Good. Yes?
The
quality of knowledge. Full of knowledge, the quality, yes. Yes, Baba. Good. Thank you.
Was more a question about that.
More a question? Good, good.
Because, like, our intelligence cannot reach the transcendental autocraft like Sukhavati Stone.
Yes.
So the only way are those 9 points, and that has faith, that means faith in the Vedas, through the bona fide spiritual master. So,
yeah.
But like if you have that simple understanding, yes, whatever he says is right. But to come to that conclusion, you need your intelligence, or you can be just very simple, or.
How to have faith in the spiritual master.
not the question. No, that's not the question. Is that some people can just have that faith, and others, like myself, I have to ask 20 million questions, and then still I have more questions.
Yeah, but this is so.
Yeah.
No, it has to do with one's nature alone. It has to do with one's nature. Or it can be also a question that maybe your intelligence is more arisen and therefore you are asking so many questions. There is something which needs to be addressed to answer your question. Maybe many more things than I could think of, but one thing comes to mind. Experience is a good teacher. If I have followed my spiritual master, then I have seen how this helped me in my life. Oh, then it's much, much easier to have faith in also difficult instructions. For instance, when I joined Krishna consciousness, I sometimes felt that, had the doubt, is Prabhupada's presentation made about the material world maybe not too black and white? I was thinking like this. Maybe he's a little simplified, that there's Krishna and then there's Maya. But, you know, I had a serious doubt because I had read so much. And I remember one time, I went to my old friends whom I thought were some nice people, and thought they can't be all in Maya, I thought they were non-devotees. And I came into a situation where I really felt the material energy. It's a little embarrassing for me to really say the exact situation. I came in the house of my friends and I saw them engaged in an activity where I really felt through my whole being, here is Maya conducting this whole my whole past, and I was thinking, thank you, Prabhupada. And there are other examples. I just did, for instance, services which I usually would not have considered doing, like going up approaching so many people, like you do on Sankirtan. I went for 5 years, I believe, on Sankirtan, and it helped me very much, and I gained faith. So experience, I think, is a good teacher also. So we will now come to Darya. Maybe I should go to the next page, because this I will hang up for you later, or Krishna Chandra, you can maybe do it directly for those of you who want to copy this down. Darya, who knows what this means? Please say.
Patience.
The jewel of patience. Ah. I feel we need to talk about this because we are all, either we are young or we are young in heart. And such people are not so patient usually. It is said by the practice of Daya, or patience, a practitioner first controls himself. He has to be patient with himself. And then the whole world, I will explain this. So, here I have shocked some sensitive natures. What does it mean to be patient with oneself? Anyone has an idea about this?
Just performing devotional service with confidence and gradually through time and you get Krishna.
Yeah, and just if something unpleasant appears, just go on and have the patience to reap the result when it comes in due course of time. Mm-hmm. Yes. Patience with yourself, what does it mean?
Not be so much attached to the result, mm-hmm. what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a private patience, yes. Yes. You should tolerate your own shortcomings and not become so totally disturbed. This sounds new agey, isn't it? but it is true. In the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord answers a question of Arjuna, how to recognize the person who is self-realized. And the answer there is, he is not attached to the symptoms of goodness, passion and ignorance. One of the symptoms of goodness is enlightenment. He's not an enlightenment junkie. And then he feels that he, then he is in Maya, he gets totally down and depressed and ooh and ah and so on. Interesting point, isn't it? Be patient. Now, thank you very much. Patience should be also exhibited in the areas of mind. It is said, a sober person can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demand, the actions of anger, and the urgence of the tongue, belly, and genital. Such a person is qualified to make disciples all over the world. That was the first verse, by the way. Now the Upadisha. Mind fire. When your anger devours you, when you want to speak after now, just step back, tolerate it and say, I'm not the mind. These processes of anger which are now there, material nature, but there's nothing to me, with me to do. Next time you suffer, ask yourself, is it the body? Is it the mind? And if it's either of the two, then you because of the desires. Yes. He has no desire, no material desire. He cannot get angry. I won't say more. Maybe we have still sometimes material desires, but with good advantages could be a relevant conclusion. The best example for this desirelessness, which can control anger and many other problems, is the Brahmana from Avantipura. We as sannyasis, at our sannyasi station, mantra, which we sing throughout our lives, it's that, Etam sasthaya padatmanishtam. This is a sannyasi song, which we sing when no one listens to it. what it means is like a mission statement of the I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean by being firmly fixed in the service of Lord Mukunda, the Lord who grants liberation, as the previous acharyas have. So this song, a song not by Michael Jackson, certainly, or any other modern entertainer. It comes from a Brahmana from Avantipura, who led a material life, but then became led a spiritual life, and had many personal insults to bear. It says some of the persons who came to him would take away his sannyas rod and some the water pot, which he was using as a begging bowl. Displaying these things before him, they would pretend to offer them back, but would hide them. When he was sitting on the bank of a river, about to partake of the food that he had collected by his begging, such sinful rascals would come and pass urine on it. And they would dare to spit on his head. I'm sorry for being so graphic, but I see some tired faces, so please excuse me, I know. Deal with me, I was born in North Germany, that is still considered very civilized there. They would criticize and insult him, saying, This man is just a hypocrite and a cheat. But the Brahmana understood that all of his suffering from other living beings, from the higher causes of nature, and from his own body was unavoidable, being allotted to him by providence. This is how you can deal with your desires, or you're being disturbed when the desires are not fulfilled. See that whatever comes in your life, the good and the bad, comes because of your previously done activities. They are reduced by Krishna's mercy to a minimum. Yes. So one should also control the tongue, and it is very interesting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes into how one should control the tongue. You will be happy and also surprised. He says, not by just not eating, for instance, or having badly cooked food. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one should, the tongue can be easily controlled when palatable prasad is easily available. The cooks in our movement should try to cook good, first of all for Krishna and also for his devotees, because when the devotees have good prasadam, they will not hanker for outside unoffered food. So I think this was very nice. It is some experience. Also in your own taking of prasad, take sumptuous prasadam. Srila Prabhupada would say so. Or if you have a need for sweets sometimes, don't be shy. You can admit I'm a sweet tooth today. And take so that you can be satisfied. And once you are satisfied, physically satisfied, you will not desire, your tongue will not desire to eat so many, you know, unoffered foodstuffs. The stomach, to be patient with the stomach and, you know, give it prasad, only prasad. And sometimes it's good to leave a meal out, to just help the stomach digest what is already there, and so on. This is how it is described. Then we come to something which is very embarrassing, but we need to talk about it, the genital. It is the most formidable, strong urge which we have. Those with a material body always want to associate with the opposite gender. It's just a very natural desire. Our bodies are made like this. There, a certain desire is implanted in every cell. This is how it is explained Ayurvedically, to desire association with the opposite gender. And I have a quote here which I find for you. Yes, in this material world, the Bhagavatam says, the conditioned soul is always inclined to sex, meat eating and intoxication. Therefore, religious scriptures never actually encourage such activities. I have prepared a seminar on brahmacharya, on celibacy, both for men and for women. I have prepared altogether 20 pages of notes. But if I would be requested to give the essence of brahmacharya or celibacy in one sentence, I mean, if I would be asked, please comprise your seminar in one sentence, what is the most important advice you could give? It would be going like this: spiritual satisfaction in Krishna consciousness can successfully eliminate this very strong drive in the human body. There are many things which can and have to be said more about this, but this is really the only way. A materialist has really no chance. This drive is just too strong. It is described as the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the world. Only if you are protected, imp- in Krishna consciousness, if you really look there, there is a the lust can be overcome. So be patient when it appears. Don't immediately act upon it when these drives come, and aim at transforming these drives. Imagine a very a person with very dirty cloth and dirty language would now demand entry into our discussion. He would be there and would come in, and there may, maybe someone, you can't come in now, in his philosophy, etc. No, you know, he's totally dirty. If he would really like to deal with him responsibly, we would transform him. The person would say, oh, before you enter, you have a very intense odor around you. There we have the shower. You can shower and feel fresh and happy. And about the language, don't use it now, just listen. We would transform him. And as a transformed person, he would maybe become a good member of our little seminar. So desires are also like this. Or urges, they violently demand entry into your consciousness. We have said that the desire to eat, or the mind, mental images, anger, and so on. Transform it and let it come in a transformed way, and you might soon find these things become your friends. This is explained by Srila Narottamdas Thakur in the Prema Bhakti Chandrika. I will engage lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy, and pride. He says, I will engage them. I think now all of us want to know, how is he going to engage these? I will engage lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy, and pride in appropriate ways. And by defeating these enemies, I will feel happiness in my heart as I peacefully worship Govinda. Now he comes a list. I will engage lust by offering it in Krishna's service. In other words, that drive you feel, you do in service. You can become a lusty preacher. No. A devotee who's lusting after preaching. Please. This was the greatest mistake. And I already made one mistake today by being too graphic about one point. This was the second one. Please forgive me. Is this wrong? You can, you know, desire to preach. Do something for Krishna. Anger, I will direct towards those who are envious of the devotees. For instance, you can go against you can write an angry letter to an editor of a newspaper and saying you have totally misrepresented the art of journalism. You've totally dragged this high art into the mud by writing this. I will be greedy to hear the topics of Hari in the association of devotees. A greedy listener. I will be maddened by singing the glories of Krishna. It's alright to chant and dance and dance like a madman or a madwoman. Be maddened and chanting Hare Krishna. I always think of this when devotees object that I wave with my chanda during kirtan. Sometimes when I'm getting in, sorry, I don't know what gentleman speaks about himself, but sometimes one gets into moods which are not usually displayed. And, well, it's there in our tradition when Narada Muni
visited the hunter, he danced around the tulsi waving the chalice and so on and so on. Little madness is there in the condition, so put into the kirtan. If you don't have madness, don't. I will feel illusioned without achieving my worship of the Lord. This is a very high state that you think, oh, there's no chance for me. And you feel sad like this. It's an illusion. There's a chance for you. This way I will engage these enemies in their proper places. I personally find this is such an important thing that I don't, that you please listen to the tape again and copy it down at some other time. Now this is how to use it. Up till now we have spoken about being patient, taking some distance towards the six urges which are within us. Yes, towards patience, towards six urges. If you want to read the six urges, please read Nectar of Instruction verse text number 1 and understand more about them. Secondly, patience can be described in the way the Srila Prabhupada very often taught us. He gave the example of the young newly wedded wife who meets her husband for the first time in intimate surrounding, and then the next day demands, where is the child? She must be patient. It comes after 9 months or so. There must be some patience. Otherwise, there must be some patience. Otherwise, one will come in a disturbed condition of mind. So, a good example which is given by Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita is the sparrow. You remember the sparrow had laid its eggs in the on the bank of the ocean, and the ocean had come and taken the legs, the eggs. So the sparrow became so determined to retrieve the eggs that he decided to go with a beak and empty out the ocean. Then he would triple in the ocean and find his eggs. He's very patient. He did it. Now at that time, this is how the Leela goes. Narada Muni was passing over the planet. And he looked down and he saw the sparrow trying the impossible. Really impressed. Then he came to the Lord. He told him about it. The Lord asked Narada Muni, what is news? He said, there are not so many news amongst the human beings, but there's a news regarding one sparrow. And he told him everything. And he told it in such a way, very loud, that Garuda, who was next to the Lord, would also hear it. It's almost like if I would now say, there is an interesting news about tapes in this world. They are very cheap and they are of very good quality. I know, and I would have Varian in my mind. You know, he has done some service and now he has stopped. This is service. He has the right etiquette and he's hearing very attentively. This is how Narada Muni told about the sparrow. Told it very loud, and Garuda Ji was going like, hearing because he's in the Lord of all the birds. And after some time, Guru said, I'm sorry, my dear Lord, you will have to be with me. I will not be here for a few minutes. Some business. He went down to the earth and he saw his little brother, you know, being so determined, also patient, to empty out the ocean. And he became very amazed at his. What is going on here? It was explained, and then he said, okay, I take care. Ocean, give back the eggs for the sparrow. The ocean just was silent. If you don't give back the eggs, I will take care. The ocean was silent. So Garuda only did one time with his wing, like this. He blew a lot of hot air over the ocean, it started to evaporate, and in the wake, the windso, a lot of sand just rushed into the ocean. Even today, if you go to Ahmedabad, you will see what is called in German a Landzunge. I do not know in English, a tongue of land. Does this make sense? What? A peninsula. You still see this from this one wing. The ocean immediately understood the message. Said, oh, of course, I just, due to mistaken arrangements, waves and tides, you know, sometimes it's a little bit taxing for one to calculate all this. Here are the eggs. So Prabhupada quotes this as an example for help yourself and then God will help you. In Krishna consciousness, here's another formula, there are two things. Endeavor and mercy. If you endeavor, the mercy will come. If you endeavor a little bit more, it will come more. It's a natural law in spiritual life. And the degree you surrender, the Lord will reveal himself. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in explaining this, makes a very interesting point. Actually, he says, if cross of obstacles come, and I may be finished, if I make avaradas and my bhakti is seriously endangered, I may go to hell. And then if Krishna comes and tells me to give up my loving service, I will not listen. I will never give up loving devotional service, no matter what comes. This is patience. It's a hypothetical situation. The Lord will never tell you to stop devotional service. If you are, he always takes devotional service. That's his mercy. But you should never give up feeling unqualified and so on and so forth. Patient means in the second meaning, not just to tolerate the urges, but patient means also I must somehow someday attain the fruit of Krishna consciousness. If I am patient, Krishna will be merciful to me, either today or after 100 years, or in some other birth. I will take shelter of his lotus feet with determination and never leave. This dharya or patience is most desirable. If Krishna sees a devotee like this, he will immediately bestow his mercy upon him. Do you remember Mukunda? He had association with Mayavadis, and as a result, Lord Chaitanya did not want to see him. He saw all the devotees except for Mukunda. Then one devotee came in to the Lord. Please, Mukunda, he did not become a Mayavadi. Please, dear Lord, forgive him for having that association. Lord Chaitanya in his Leela was playing very, answering very strongly. Only after, I think, a million births, this Mukunda will see me again. This message was brought out. And what did Mukunda do? He was joyful, said, "Oh, I have a chance. What is a million births in comparison to seeing the Lord?" So we should be patient. Yes, one day I will see, but I will see. I must obtain Krishna. Krishna will give me his mercy. This Darya is most desirable. Hare Krishna. Now we will have a short discussion on Darya. First of all, may I just have a quick show? You can just say it out. What does Darya mean? We have two types of Darya. Oh, it's on here. Maybe this question is not good because. Why not? Please say it. It means more like tolerance, right? And the six urges come tolerated. And the second is.
To endeavor with determination,
even in the face of obstacles. Be patient. One day it will come. Mm-hmm. Very good. That's really. Yeah, any realization? That was what I wanted to ask on this question. What do you think about Daya?
I think that if we need to feel some spiritual satisfaction, somewhere.
Yeah. It seems to me that we need some spiritual satisfaction in order to be able to be patient and keep on going. Mm-hmm. A very nice realization. I think what you have said is very good. Therefore, it says first is enthusiasm, then comes confidence. You must be also confident that you will reach the goal, right? And then comes daya, patience, succession, successive list. Mm-hmm.
Having patience helps you in services like book distribution because you don't always see the results immediately.
It is described, if you first control yourself and keep on going with something and then be patient that in the future I will attain this, now let me be a little patient, then you can win the whole world. Because it's very interesting. If you just curb these six urges, and go on endeavoring in Krishna consciousness, then the mercy factor comes. Endeavor. The mercy factor comes. In other words, you must be successful in Krishna consciousness. You will be successful in Krishna consciousness. This is why Daya, patience, is divided in these two things. First towards the six urges, which means a little endeavor, to overcome these six urges. We have heard Narottanda's Thakur, how to engage these lust and madness and so on in Krishna service. And then you can be patient. It's not some dreamy patience in something which will never happen. No, it will happen because the mercy will come. Do you see the connection? Good. Any other devotee? Yes.
Someone understands that there's nothing to obtain in this material world, so but they want it to become very
tolerant. Very good. What our devotee has said is very true. A devotee can be on that spiritual platform if he knows I have nothing to win, nothing to lose in this world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When problems come many times, I said, well, they came before they went.
Yeah.
Now they're coming now, they will also go.
Yeah. Like all things must pass, I will be without this problem often. Mm-hmm.
I realize also that I don't waste so much energy, because when I'm patient, I know when the time has come, Krishna will arrange everything before. I try and try and it doesn't happen.
Wonderful. Yes, but Maharaj says it's very true also. One loses so much energy in trying to improve the situations or whatever. But when one is patient, one knows when the time comes, Krishna will give.
Mm-hmm. Also, many times with controversies, you know, you like to dive into it. And then a year later, they're solved.
They disappear. That issue, this annual, what is this? Annual deviation. a big talk for this year, but next year, no one will even. No cock will crow after it, you say in German. Yeah, we do.
The difference between patience, many people think patience is only on the first level, just tolerating, and can go to laziness, so I'm happy to give a second and to engage to a level of determination.
Wonderful. So we will now, we have another 7 minutes, and I want to go in Tat Tat Kama Pravatanat, and it will become clear why Tat Tat Kama Pravatanat. This means various engaging in various acts favorable for devotional service. It is said that one should strictly follow the easy path which the previous Mahajans have accepted. That path bestows great auspiciousness and is devoid of all misery. So therefore, this is a quote from Skanda Purana. Therefore, let us now please discuss the various acts favorable for devotional service. But before that, I want to bring your attention to a very interesting analysis. There are two types of people in this world. One is a very interesting analysis. Undeveloped. And the other is developed. Do you also enjoy this very categorically and it's a simple approach to reality? What is an undeveloped person? Well, his intelligence is always absorbed in trivial things, in small petty things, like what to dress, what to eat, how to money. It is always engaged with the objects of the senses. If such a person who's always absorbed, better to say he's absorbed in the so-called happiness of this world, that's really what it means, you know. If this such a person has association with devotees, he will come to a realization. This realization is very nicely expressed. He will say, how unfortunate I am. I am passing my days hankering for material enjoyment. Ooh. Do you sometimes have this even in Krishna consciousness? That sometimes you feel like, how unfortunate I am. I'm passing my days. Don't even want to say it, how I pass my days. My omsky, my mind, is always digging up something through desire. So such a person will become developed and will start to think about spiritual life. Now after some time he will approach great souls in order to be guided by them. That's the way how the natural development starts. And the great soul, or the Mahajan, or the devotee, Vaishnava, Sadhu, will have to look at this person who comes for guidance. Is his faith strong that he will engage in devotional service? If he accepts someone as a disciple who has no faith in devotional service, the whole chain of devotion, of disciplic succession, or the sampradaya will be polluted. It's a very interesting thing. If, for instance, our movement, I think we can all understand it on a simple way, if we should have a movement of devotees who follow, let me say, only two regulative principles and who chant only four rounds a day, our movement would lose its significance as a spiritual, truly spiritual movement. Isn't it? Don't you have this feeling? If we would do just things, you know. So, therefore, spiritual master will look, or has to look, is there some faith in the prospective disciple? Now, a very interesting question, because most of us are not spiritual masters, is what should we heard now what the spiritual master should look for in the candidate who wants to become developed. But now what should a disciple look in the spiritual master? What qualities? Is that an interesting subject for you? I find it entirely interesting. What type of guru one should take shelter of is explained in the Shastras. One who has conquered the six enemies, beginning with lust. One who is pure. One who performs devotional service. One who is brahminical. One who knows the clear path of the Vedas. One whose sadhus can respect as guru. One who is able to control the senses. One who is merciful to all living entities. One who is kalshat. One who is without duplicity. And one who is truthful. And here you find some of the qualities of a bona fide spiritual master. And when you approach such a soul, such a person, then the gate to the various acts favorable for devotional service is opened by that guru. You can imagine your spiritual master to be someone like standing, let us say in Radhadesh, there's this entry gate. You come there, you want to go into Radhadesh, you want to have the darshan of the deity, you would like to participate in the interesting lectures and seminars. And he is there, he can open the door for you. This is how important the spiritual master is. Therefore, on the path of regulative devotional service, there are five items. As you will hear them, you will notice how they all relate to the spiritual master. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. Second point, accept initiation from him. Third, serve him. Fourth, receive instructions from the spiritual masters. That's important. And make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. We should ask questions. And fifth, remember one of the qualities of the spiritual master was that sadhus can respect him. Follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. In other words, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So, tomorrow, so this this is how we can enter into the various acts favorable of devotional service. We must go from the undeveloped to the developed, which comes by associating with Mahajans and losing the faith that material happiness is, will make me happy, and gaining the faith that by acting in devotional service it can go on. So when you have made this transition, then you approach a bona fide spiritual master. What you should bring with you is faith. What he should bring with him are the qualities mentioned. He must be merciful, he must be able to answer your inquiries, he must know the shastras, he must be well behaved, he must be able to control the six urges, and so on and so forth. So I will end my presentation here. I went a little bit over time this time, a few minutes. Why? I thought we should hurry into Tathagata Prabhupada, because tomorrow we will tell you a little bit more how you can make contact with Krishna by telling you the teachings of the spiritual masters in our sampradaya, what they will teach you, what process will they give you. That's a very interesting subject matter for tomorrow morning, and then we will hear tomorrow, we will have the end of our seminar, which will be, there will be some interesting points which will come. I want to thank you very much. Today I must excuse myself. I'm very sorry for being so temperamental and making another good illustration of a point. Very sorry, please forgive me. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Niti Govindai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi ki I don't know how you feel, but isn't it a nice feeling to know it's the last day? No. You're beginning to experience what we were talking about, greed, directed towards spiritual subject matters. We will today discuss where we left off yesterday. Who remembers where we left off yesterday? Yes, you both stated the one, Tathagata in Sanskrit and in English, various acts favorable for devotional service. Now, what? Who opens for us the door of devotional, to the palace of Bhakti? Master. And now I would like to bring to your attention what the most important practices are which the spiritual master teaches us. Now I find it very helpful for devotees if they can focus their mind on these practices. First of all, to approach the Lord is not so easy, because he is so described to be a resident of the transcendental or the spiritual world, and we are in the material world. It's very difficult for a conditioned soul to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, what do we do when we approach someone who is difficult to approach? At the point which Prabhupada often made, we go to someone who is very close to him, like a child, and we want to come in contact with a rich man. We give the child, maybe it's sweet. And in this way, the rich man becomes satisfied. This was also the first point. We go to the spiritual master, who's to be meditated as Mukunda Preshta. When you think of your spiritual master, this is how you should think of him. Mukunda, we know who this is. Krishna. And Preshta means someone who's dear. So the spiritual master should be seen as someone who's dear to Krishna. This is a very profound and also working meditation for us. I am saying this because I read once a letter about a young devotee about, in this case, her spiritual master. She said, "Oh, when he is near, and I'm seeing his smile, and I'm smelling his clothes, and so on and so forth." And she was describing more details in this area of information or category of information. And it may not be that she can feel enthusiastic all the time about it. Maybe his clothes will one day not be ironed. Anyways, we don't want to go into detail. We must think of our spiritual master as someone who is dear to Krishna. This is the best way to avoid any misconceptions regarding what he says or how he acts and so on and so forth. So the first point, if you want to reach someone who is close, you know, if you want to reach someone who's very elevated, you can go through Tadiya. There is something which is near to him. We have the spiritual master. Tadiya, it is close to him. No? This is how you can get in contact with the Lord. Tadiya means the tulasi leaves, for instance. We eat tulasis. It means the devotees of Krishna. The birthplace of Krishna, like Mathura. And the Vedic literature. Krishna is very eager to see his devotees serve Tulasi, Vaishnavas, Mathura, and the Bhagavata. That's a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It appears in the Madhya Leela. Chapter 22, verse number 125, if you want to read it. I'm not sure if there is an explanation of purpose, but it's good to know this. In other words, if you want to come close to Krishna, come close to those persons or things, so to say, which are close to Krishna. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this point which we have just made is more described, this verse. The first thing to come close to is Sadhu Sangha. This is how it all starts. Sadhu Sangha. Whenever the subject today is how can we do activities which are favorable. So we will start now with five major points. Which if we keep those in focus in our lives, make them something like our mission statement, then we will definitely come to Sri Krishna, so to speak. See, in the association of Sadhu Sangha,